Forgive me if I say this every year, but there are four masses of Christmas, each with its own set of readings, each with its own set of prayers. And there's a kind of a development in the gospel readings particularly that is similar to kind of following upon the development of the gospels themselves back in the first century. So the first of the four gospels written was Mark, and he starts out with the baptism of Jesus. The opening chapter of Mark is the baptism of Jesus. And he's saying by that we know that he is Son of God from his baptism. And then Matthew and Luke are written a decade or so later, and they have birth narratives, and those are the narratives that we read at the first three masses at Christmas night, Christmas Eve, Matthew and Luke. And they tell these birth narratives because what they're saying by that is we know he is Son of God from his birth, not from his baptism, but when he was born, he was already Son of God. But this morning, we read from the Gospel of John, the last of the four Gospels, written about 15 or 20 years after the others, after a considerable amount of theological development had occurred. And he says, no, we don't know that he was Son of God from his baptism, and we don't know that he was Son of God even from his birth. We know that he was Son of God from the very beginning of everything. So his gospel starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's our gospel for this morning. And the theology of the readings and the prayers and everything this morning is this kind of what some people call the cosmic Christ. That in the beginning, or even before the beginning, because God goes endlessly, infinitely in that direction, God begot the Son. The Father begot the Son. And so we hear in that gospel, this day I have begotten you. Now, in the timelessness of God, which is difficult for us to imagine, we can imagine infinity, but we can't get our minds completely around it. So for God to say, this day I have begotten you, he doesn't mean a moment in time. He means eternally. And so in the Creed, which we're going to pray in a few minutes, we always say eternally begotten of the Father. So it's the eternal day. It's the every day is today. For God, all time is now. It's this one moment. And so the Father begetting the Son is not one moment in history. It's today. It's always, that the Son is allowing himself to be begotten by one who is his equal. This says so much about the Son, his humility, his willingness to serve, acquiescing to the authority of another who is his equal, or to whom he is equal. But that's the nature of the Son, this incredible humility. And so at Christmas time, we celebrate the incarnation, something that did happen at one moment in time, so that we humans who are so locked in time and can't understand timelessness, we could visualize it, we could see it, we could touch it, we could hear it. He takes on our human flesh, even though he was in everything. In all the 14 billion years of the evolution of all created reality, the Son was the voice spoken for all of that, and he is in all of that. So the joining of spiritual God and material reality is in Christ. It's of Christ. Christ is the author of it all. He is the Word spoken so that it came to be. He is in everything. So we humans, we celebrate things in a timely fashion, and so we talk about Jesus being born in human flesh 2,000 years ago. We speak of our baptism as so many years ago. We speak of how old we are, how long we've been alive, and how much life we have left. And we know that we're going to live forever, but, you know, it's just beyond our comprehension what that means. But in the liturgy, we step into the timelessness of God. So when we enter a Catholic church and sign ourselves in the baptismal waters, that's a ritual way of saying, this didn't just happen to me X years ago. This is happening to me today, because it's the eternal today of the liturgy. And so the fullness, the completion of initiation doesn't happen just once. It's Eucharist, and it happens over and over again. Because today, Jesus is born. Today, Jesus dies. Today, he ascends to the Father. Today, he sits at the right hand of the Father in glory. It's all now. And what a wonderful privilege for us Christians to know that and to celebrate that ritually. And so it kind of gets into our bloodstream. It gets into our bones. You know, I've been specially trained to talk about this, and a lot of times most Catholics couldn't put their finger on exactly what it is, but they've got it in their bones because they've been eating it and drinking it all their lives. We take it in a sacramental way, even though we maybe can't put it into words. Maybe we can't fully understand it. But we immerse ourselves in the mystery. We say yes to what we maybe can't comprehend. We embrace the reality of God's love for us. The life of the world coming into our world, taking on our human flesh, sharing our human life, sharing our human misery, taking on our sin. Sin, of course, is separation. Sin is alienation from God and from one another and from the universe. And humans, because of so many generations of sin, of disunion, we are alienated from ourselves. Who even understands themselves? We are born into an alienated universe. And at one point in time, God entered into that alienation. He took on our sin. He took on that separation so that he could show us what union looks like. And it looks like a son who is completely obedient to his father. It looks like a son who is so confident in the father's love for him that he doesn't have to worry about himself. Not for one moment in his life did he have to worry about himself. So unlike us. We're so afraid. We have so many issues. We have so many selfish concerns. It's just hard for us to get beyond that. But we have the sign. We have the sacrament of one who didn't share any of that. So he comes into our sin. He comes into our alienation and shows us what freedom from all that would look like. And so if you think in terms of time, we have already known the end of the story for 2,000 years. And it's a comedy. It has a happy ending, as opposed to a tragedy, which has a sad ending, a tragic ending. The story is already, the end is already revealed for us. We know that we're going to be sitting at the right hand of the Father. We know that we're going to be sharing God's life. We know that all fear and all alienation and all self-concern is going to melt away, and we will be sharing that triune life with God where everyone is giving themselves completely to others and receiving that back from all the others, and we will be one with all of God's creation and one with God. But we already celebrate that here this morning. Every time we gather around this altar, we celebrate that. And we do it by remembering what it looked like in Jesus and imagining what it's going to look like in us.